It's really important to understand how the finance and tax system works. I know that can sound daunting. I didn't understand these for a long time. Like, even when I was working at a regular job, I was like, I don't know how they figure out how many taxes I'm supposed to have and like how this whole thing works. And it's really important to understand this when you become an entrepreneur. So let's just dive in. Have you ever wondered what it's really like behind the scenes of a multi-7-figure business? We're talking real deal, unfiltered, non-sugar-coated version. And you'd rather learn from somebody who has sold direct to consumers rather than making all their money telling other people how to do exactly what they did. Well, you're in the right place. I'm Laura, your host of Get Profitable HQ. If I can do this, starting my business as the shyest person I know and running it today with two small kids, hobbies, travel, a chronic illness, and actually a life, then I know anyone can grow a successful business. Tune in each week for value-packed content to help you feel less alone in your journey to grow your business and for practical strategies to help you get to the next level, whether that be to quickly grow revenue and profit or grow slowly and be more efficient and spend less time in your business. So first of all, when it comes to businesses, there's kind of three terms that are really important. The first one is revenue, or some people will say top line revenue. That is every single dollar that comes into your business, no matter how it comes in. This could be through sales. That would be the most common one, like your clients or customers paying you through Stripe, PayPal, ShopPay, whatever you have. Plus, if you have display ads, if you do any kind of sponsored content, if you're an affiliate for somewhere like Amazon or just affiliates for other people's courses, any which way that you make money, all this money coming in is called your revenue. That's just how much money the business made in top line revenue. Next number is expenses. Again, this is very basic, but important to understand. So expenses is just every dollar that your business spends in order to operate. So this could be all manner of things. Software subscriptions, contractors, your employees, in some cases, your own salary. If you have one, we'll get into that later. Educational expenses. If you have products, like if you sell products, the actual products, advertising, like all of your expenses are literally just called your expenses. And I don't overthink this. It's literally just what it costs me to run the business is my expenses. All right, so we have revenue, all the money that we made, expenses, all the money that we spent, and revenue minus expenses is your profit. So that's how much you actually profited. And in many cases, profit is not necessarily in line with any of the other two numbers. So you could have a business that does $1 million in revenue and only has $100,000 in expenses, and that's very profitable. It makes $900,000 a year. That would be excellent. Or on the flip side, you could have a business that makes $10 million a year, but has $9 million in expenses. It only makes $1 million or anywhere in between. So what I want you to understand is that our goal in any business is not revenue or expenses. It is profit. We want the profit number to be as high as it can be. Sometimes by being too frugal and trying to keep our expenses low, we're actually going to make less profit. Because if we spent, say, another, I don't know, $100,000 this year in advertising, we could bring in another $500,000, which would add $400,000 to our profit. That would be amazing. And we wouldn't want to be so frugal that we're like, we just don't want to spend this $100,000, even though it's going to generate $500,000. Again, your goal is always to maximize profit. And one other term that you're going to hear a lot that I think is important is profit margin. So this means the percentage of your revenue that is profit. Let's say that I have a $100,000 business, like it brings in $100,000 in revenue, and I needed to spend $50,000 to make that $100,000. That means I have $50,000 in profit and I have a 50% profit margin. That's actually very good. And in general, as your revenue goes up and your business grows, it is very, very hard to sustain that super high profit margin that you may have had when it was just you. That's unrealistic. And if you try to do that, you're going to be overwhelmed and stressed out and doing way too many things yourself. So just know that it is very, very normal to not sustain the same profit margin as you grow. Your profit margin will likely decrease, but your total profit number should be going up. If that's not the case, if you have increased your revenue and increased your expenses by even a greater rate than you're increasing your revenue. So as an example, let's say that you're that business that made $100,000 one year and spent $50,000 to make it and made $50,000. But you get up to, let's say, to $1 million, but at this point, you're spending $900,000 to make that million, then your profit margin is only 10%. You only made $100,000. So yeah, you did double your hard profit. You went from 50 to 100,000, but my goodness, how much you had to lower your profit margin to do it. You're only making 10%. That would mean that you're probably working too hard. Like, it's too complicated. You got too much stuff going on and you're not able to keep that profit margin up there. Now, there could be exceptions. Maybe it's a growth year and you're setting yourself up for success and next year you're going to take off. That's fine. But just as a rule of thumb, if your profit margin is super low, it may be too complicated. And if your profit margin is super high, that may be fine. That may be what you want to do, or it may be time to look at growing. So we've talked about revenue, expenses, profit, and profit margins. All right, we got to talk about taxes. And it's not fun, but you're going to feel so much better once you understand this. So you're going to pay taxes on your profit. It really doesn't matter all that much what your revenue and your expenses are. A business that made $200,000 in revenue but spent $100,000, that means they made $100,000. They pay the same amount of money as a business that made $1 million in revenue but had $900,000 in expenses, so they made $100,000. You're still paying the same amount of taxes. The profit is what matters. And again, I'm oversimplifying a little bit there. So there could be some nuances to that. But overall, especially in our line of work where we don't have big property expenditures, most of us don't have physical products where we're holding inventory and things like that. That's basically how it works. So just keep that in mind. You're going to just pay your taxes on your profit. Now, let's talk about what taxes are in the U.S. If you're not in the U.S., sorry, I don't know the taxes for every other country, but this is how it works in the United States. Whether you are a regular W-2 employee, that means you're the kind of employee, you work for somebody else in a traditional role, and they are taking your taxes out for you and paying them, you know, sending them to the government for you. If you are a W-2 employee, you have FICA tax. If you are self-employed, which you are if you own your own business, you also pay FICA tax. Everyone pays this. That means Social Security and Medicare. Everyone pays this. Now, here's where it gets interesting. It's 15.3%. So 15.3% of every dollar that anyone working in the U.S. earns and reports, as they should, is going to go to FICA. That's just how it is. But here's the deal. If you are a W-2 employee, you personally are going to pay 7.65%, and your employer is going to pay 7.65% and send that to the government. However, if you own your own business and are self-employed or you work as a contractor, so they're not withholding your side of the taxes, you have to pay the entire 15.3% yourself. So this is kind of the self-employment, let's call it disadvantage, that you're going to actually pay more in FICA taxes. So that is what it is. Now, like I said, if you're W-2, they're already taking that out for you and that's all happening. This also means that if you are hiring employees versus a contractor, according to the IRS, they are allowed to set their own hours. There's a lot of things that the IRS stipulates to be a contractor. Don't break those rules. I see people breaking those rules right and left all the time. I don't. If they're an employee, I call them employee and I treat them as an employee. That means I officially hire them onto my business as an employee through an official system and I have to withhold their payroll taxes. I remit those to the government and then I also pay the employer's side of the FICA. That means that when you hire someone as an employee, you're going to pay a lot more than just their salary because you're going to pay that 7.65% on top of that as FICA taxes. And there's probably a few other administrative expenses as well. So just so you understand that. So when your business makes a profit, that $100,000, let's say, assuming that you are not an S Corp, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, you're going to pay 15.3% of that or $15,300 on that $100,000. You also have local state tax, and local and state taxes will vary. So local is literally like kind of like your county, maybe your city charges a tax, and then state is obviously the taxes that your state charges. State income tax varies widely by states. There are some states that do not have an income tax, but most of those have a really high sales tax. Like we're talking 9-10%. Some states have just a straight up, I think Indiana where I live is like 3.5%. Just there's no graduation. It's just like everyone pays 3.5% of any dollar that they make. Other states have graduated income tax, where the less you make, the lower the percentage, and it kind of goes up similar to the federal income tax. It just depends on your state. So we're not really going to factor that in, but just know that they exist, and many states are going to pay a state income tax. Now, let's talk about the actual federal income tax. So the federal income tax, FICA is not federal income tax, that is FICA tax. So federal income tax is what you pay to the IRS on the money that you make. The first thing to understand, and this works the same way whether or not you own your own business, are self-employed, or whether you're an employee, they're still calculating the taxes the same way. It's just if you are self-employed, you're going to be like mailing the check to the government yourself, or, you know, you can do it online these days. But that's really the difference. But the way that they calculate the taxes is exactly the same, whether you're an employee or whether you're self-employed. So the first thing is that you're going to look at your income or profit if you're an online business, and you're going to take a standard deduction or you're going to itemize. So the standard deduction just means that just for being you and alive, they're going to basically reduce the amount you pay taxes on by the amount of the standard deduction. It does change a little bit every year. You can easily look it up. I just Googled 2023 standard deduction. It turns out that it's $13,850 in 2023. Now, I'm going to assume a single person. It's very easy to look it up for married. If you're married filing jointly, it's probably double that. So it's two people. Let's say you made $100,000. Your business made $100,000 in profit. That means you're not going to pay federal income taxes on $100,000. You get to take that standard deduction and pay it on $100,000 minus that $13,850. Great. So you've already reduced the amount you have to pay taxes on. Now, you have the choice to either take that standard deduction or you can itemize. You never do both. It's one or the other. And you're going to do whichever gives you the greater deduction because, duh. I mean, of course, you want to pay less taxes. If your itemized items are greater than that $13,850, then you're going to want to do the itemization. When you itemize, this is by no means an exhaustive list of everything you can itemize, but these are the most common things that people use to itemize. That would be the mortgage interest on your primary residence. So if you have a big mortgage and you're paying a lot of interest, that might add up to more than $13,850. You also can take your state and local taxes. So that adds on to that, and your charitable contributions that are to official 501c3s that are tax deductible. Those can also come out on your itemization. So if that number, if you add all that up, like I said, the three most common, but there's tons of others as well. So definitely you'll want to talk to your state, your tax professional about this, but your mortgage interest, your state and local taxes, and your charitable contributions, add all those up. If those are more than $13,850 for yourself, then you're going to want to itemize, and it could be, you know, however much that is, it's going to reduce the amount you pay taxes on by even more. I want to point something out here that a lot of people get wrong. If you don't pay mortgage interest and you don't make a lot of money, so you don't pay a lot of state and local taxes, and you think that you're contributing to a charity and you're going to reduce your taxes, you're not. Because if you are taking the standard deduction, that means you're not, it doesn't even matter what you gave to charity. Now, again, if you gave more than $13,850 to charity alone and you didn't have any other itemizations, then you would still be able to take that off. But just by donating to Goodwill $100 worth of stuff or something, if you're taking the standard deduction, that's not going to affect your taxes at all. I just wanted to throw that out there because sometimes I think people think that it is, but it's not. Let's say that you made $200,000 in profit and you're going to take the standard deduction. That means you're only paying taxes on $186,150. Write this down if you need to. Like, it helps if you get out a piece of paper or like an Excel sheet and kind of do the math for yourself, because the more you understand this, the easier it is going to be to understand your own income and kind of how everything impacts you. All right. Now, once you've either decided to take the standard deduction or itemize, everything else that's left, you're going to pay federal income tax on. And we have a graduated income tax system. I believe the theory behind this is that, like, the less you make, on the first, let's say $11,000, you're only paying 10%. And then from the next so many dollars, from $11,001 all the way up to $44,725, and this is in 2023, you're paying 12%. Every tier higher that you get, your rate of tax, you know, the percentage that you pay on that amount of money goes up. So that's how you're going to pay way more in taxes on, you know, $301,000 than you ever did on $1. That's why. It's because of the graduated income tax system. The theory behind this, I believe, is that if you are making less money, you actually need more of that money to live on. But if you're making a lot more money, you don't really need all of that money to live on. So you can afford to give more to the government. I think that's the theory. People have all sorts of opinions, but it is what it is. We're unlikely to change it, even if we don't agree with it. So I'm just here to present the facts. Once you get up to $44,725, up to $95,000, I'm rounding, by the way, you're going to pay 22%. So that's a pretty big jump. Now, again, this is what that doesn't mean. And I think this is another thing that confuses people about the system. If I make $90,000, that means I'm in the 22% tax bracket. On those last dollars that I made, I'm paying 22% of those dollars in taxes, in federal taxes. I'm paying more than that because I also had to pay FICA and I probably paid state and local. But for federal taxes, I'm paying 22%. What that does not mean, say I made $90,000, I am not paying 22% on that entire $90,000. What that would mean, and this would not be good, is that you could literally bring home less money by making more money. And that doesn't make any sense. And that actually never happens. You will always, always make more money by making more profit. You will always bring home more money by making more profit. You may pay a higher percentage of taxes on the later dollars that you make, but you will still always, every dollar that you make is going to put more money into your bank account for you to keep. This is why even if you just don't like writing huge bill, huge checks to IRS, you are still always going to have more money if you made more profit. And you can look this up online, just Google like 2023 federal tax income brackets or something, and it'll bring up a chart. You're going to pay 22% on 44,000 to about 95,000, and then 24% on about 95 to 182. Then you get up to 35% at 231,000 to about 578,000. And the highest tax bracket that there is the 37%, which is what you pay on every dollar above 578,000 that you make. So that's basically how it works. So again, let's use this example of you made $200,000 in profit. In federal income taxes only, you're first going to take the standard deduction. So that is going to reduce the amount that you pay taxes on. And then on that first $11,000 that you made, that's going to be $1,100 in taxes, 11%. On the next $33,000 that you made, you're going to pay 12% or about $4,000. I'm rounding these numbers. On the next $50,000 that you make, you're going to pay 22%, and that's about $11,000. On that next amount that you make, so that is the amount between $95,000 and $182,000, you're going to pay taxes on that $86,000 of about 24% or $20,000. Then you're in your bracket because on that amount over $182,000, which is very little because remember we took off the $13,850, you're only going to pay a very little bit of taxes on that. I think that's about $1,000. And so your total taxes, federal taxes, will be $53,803 if you made $200,000 in profit. And you're in the 32% tax bracket. So what that means is the first dollar that you made, you only paid 10% in taxes. So you only paid 10% in federal taxes on that first dollar. But on that last dollar that you made, you had to pay 32% in taxes. So that means that you had to pay 32 cents in federal income tax on that last dollar that you made. And the most anybody would ever have to pay, if you're in the highest tax bracket, would be 37% or 37 cents for every dollar that you make. So you're bringing home a lesser percentage of those dollars, but you're still bringing home more money. It's also important to note the effective tax rate is when you take all the taxes into account. So you take how much money you made and then how much you paid in local, state, FICA, and federal, add all that up, and what percentage of your income is that? So that's your total effective tax rate when you add everything up. And it's going to vary depending on your exact situation. So that's effectively how much you ended up paying on if you evened it out over every dollar that you made. All right. Another thing we need to talk about here is S-Corps, because a lot of online businesses file as an S-Corp. Traditionally, if you just start a business, the IRS doesn't care what you do. They don't care if you file paperwork or whatever. They just care that they get their money. But most people will set up an LLC. It's a very, very simple process. There's hardly anything to it. And you're officially a single member LLC at that time. Then you'll pay taxes on every bit of profit that you make. You're not paying yourself anything. You're like, your compensation is whatever the profit is, and you're going to just pay taxes on every dollar of profit as if that were your personal income. So if you made $200,000 in profit, you're going to pay your 15.3% in FICA and all the other taxes as normal. That's if you do not file as an S-Corp. By the way, if you're not making enough money, it makes no sense to file as an S-Corp. Now, if you are making enough profit, it makes sense to set yourself up to file as an S-Corp. What that means is that, first of all, the IRS says your work that you do for your own company, you must pay yourself a salary as an employee. So They're first going to make sure that you pay yourself, and it would be advantageous tax-wise for you if you could pay yourself as little as possible. So if you could be like, yep, I'm the CEO of my company and I only make $100 a year, that would be advantageous tax-wise. You're going to pay less taxes in all. However, the IRS has rules about that, and they state that you must pay yourself a reasonable salary. There is debate about what is a reasonable salary if my position is the CEO of this company and I work 20 hours a week, and I don't know. There's lots of considerations. There's lots of things that they take into account. You can Google their official, you know, document on it. I would certainly talk to your accountant, but you're going to have to give yourself a reasonable salary, like what you would have to pay if you hired someone else to do your job. On this reasonable salary, you're essentially going to end up paying all of your FICA, because you yourself are going to pay the 7.65%, and your company, which is also cutting down your profit, and you, is going to pay the other 7.65%. So there's no advantage to the money that you're paying yourself as a salary. You end up in the same place. But then after your salary, you're still going to have some profit, right? Or hopefully, this is the goal. And on that profit, you do not have to pay the FICA tax. So that is obviously going to save you some money. If you have a profit that is, you know, over and above your own salary, then you're going to save yourself the FICA tax on that particular income, not on what you're paid as an employee of your company, but on the actual profit that you make, you're going to save the FICA taxes. And depending on what the profit amount is, that could be significant. We should also point out that there is a cap on FICA taxes anyway. So the savings that you could benefit from are a bit limited, but it's still significant. And that's why most people choose to become an S-Corp. Now, of course, there are other factors. Definitely consult your accountant. I think there might be a state or two that charges extra taxes if you are an S-Corp or something like that. So again, you know, you'll want to look into this. But just if you're like, I don't understand why all these people are saying I should be an S-Corp or why they're doing it, that's why. And if you are not making that much money, it's not going to save you anything. So let's say that you're making $50,000 in profit and you think that $50,000 is your reasonable salary, then you're not going to save a dime. If, on the other hand, you are making $100,000 in profit and you think that $50,000 is your reasonable salary, you're going to save the FICA taxes, or 15.3%, on the remaining $50,000 of profit. And that, in that case, would be about $7,600. So that is advantageous. So just so you understand how that works and what that means in very simple terms, knowing that there's still a lot of other things to consider. And now that you know all this, I kind of want to bring it back home and go back and review these mistakes and kind of see what we think now that we have made sure that we understand how these numbers work and given ourselves a little bit of a financial education. So burying your head in the sand, okay, it doesn't really change much on that, but now you're going to understand some of the numbers even better. Saying you're not good at numbers, well, you just learned a lot, so that's not true anymore. Buying things just because they're a tax write-off, I hope you understand how that works. It just affects your profit. And again, how much profit you make is going to affect how much actual tax savings that means for you personally. Overpaying in taxes so that you can get a big tax return. Well, you know how many taxes you're going to owe, and still doesn't change the fact that you're giving them to the IRS, kind of essentially loaning them free money when you could easily get a good return on that money. Last one is not setting aside money in taxes. Now that we've talked about the tax system, you even yourself can kind of estimate and calculate. Make yourself a little spreadsheet, or you can go to online calculators and plug in some numbers and see what it's going to look like. The hardest thing, obviously, is you don't know how much money you're going to make in a given year. I don't know how much money I'm going to make in 2024. I can have an idea. I can have a goal. And so that's going to affect how much I make. That's why I just set aside more than I'll need. And I pay my safe harbor, which is the same as I paid last year. If I do that, the IRS says you won't get any penalties. And those are the quarterly estimates. I pay the safe harbor. And that way, I'm not going to pay extra penalties. I'll be able to hold on to my money as long as the IRS will let me, to earn my own interest on it and not give it to them until it's due them. And then set aside a little bit extra so that I'm 100% sure that I have the money to cover the taxes when they come due. All right. Really, really hope that this has helped you. If you didn't understand the basics of business taxes and finances, especially as it applies to our simple online businesses, then I hope this has helped you and given you some kind of clarity around that. If you want to dive deeper, if you have more questions, feel free to shoot me an email. I can do more episodes on this topic if we want some more information or clarity. And I would love to, for you to let me know, like, what other financial mistakes do you think maybe I should cover or that you've made that you think everyone should be aware of and watch out for. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Get Profitable HQ. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, share it with your business besties, and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. And if you love this and can't wait to get more, I have an entire bank of resources and more behind the scenes info at getprofitablehq.com. Go ahead and head there.